Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Huntington, West Virginia, and earned a BA in marketing from Marshall University. In 1991, he won the Helen Hayes Award for Outstanding Lead Actor. And in 1991, he made his Broadway debut as Jean Valjean in Les Misérables. And he has played as Jean Valjean in 3,265 performances. In 1997, he made his Carnegie Hall debut with Marvin Hamlisch and was Marvin's tenor of choice for 22 years, performing with the greatest symphonies around the world. His name, Mark McVeigh. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Mark McVeigh. He has played Jean Valjean of Les Misérables in 3,265 performances. Mark, welcome, an honor to have you.
Oh, thanks, Jack. I'm honored to be here.
All right, let's go back, talk about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please.
Sure. I had a great mom and dad. They were dedicated to their family, dedicated to their friends, their church, and their values. They raised us to believe in God and to believe in ourselves. Very simple childhood, really. We had everything we needed. Not everything we wanted, but everything we needed. I was raised in the Methodist Church in Huntington, and I still have very, very fond memories of my childhood. We lived up on a big hill, and so we did a lot of sleigh riding and bike riding and just wandering all over the hill.
Mark, were you a star in grade school?
No, I would say that's a big, big fat no. I went to two different grade schools. First 3 years were pretty tough years. I was maybe by the third grade the only white child in my classroom. And so I was a victim of a bunch of bullying. Almost every kid wanted my lunch money. It's probably because they didn't have any, and that's okay. But then my fourth, fifth, and sixth grade years were over in a school that there was only one African-American child in the entire school. And so really two very stark contrasts. And if I were to think back about it a little bit, I was probably more the bully in those fourth, fifth, and sixth years than sixth grade than I was even in the first 3 years. But it was a good upbringing.
And how would you describe your high school years?
The high school years were kind of a direct segue from junior high. We did do junior high, 7, 8, 9, and then high school, 10, 11, 12. I started hanging around with the wrong crowd, really, in junior high school, and so I started getting into trouble, which went right on into high school. I did quit almost everything I did. When I say trouble, I'm saying the things that typically kids get into, drinking and smoking and things like that, and it continued into high school, and I was kind of pretty popular, I guess. I played basketball, so I had a lot of friends in sports, related activities and things like that. But it was a very nefarious behind the scenes kind of high school, if you will. My senior year, I had already completed all of my studies. I was a pretty good student, and I went the middle of the senior year of high school, I went to work in a men's clothing store and started going to Marshall University.
Where did you get your love for music?
Oh, that's easy. That came from my mom and dad. My mom was probably Well, she and her friends, I guess they started every organization that Huntington, West Virginia had that had anything to do with music or theater. My whole family sings. My mother had an incredible soprano voice, and my dad was what we commonly called a utility tenor. He didn't like to be out front, but he could sing all day. My sister and I followed in their footsteps. My other two brothers, they didn't go into it professionally, but my sister was a runner-up in the Metropolitan Opera auditions, and so I kind of followed in her footsteps, I guess.
We're talking to Mark McVeigh. If you want to learn more, www.jmarkmcvey.com. Mark, how did you ever break into the theatrical world as a performer?
Well, again, I came very naturally by that. My mom started almost every theatrical organization. So Musical Arts Guild was founded in 63, and I was 5 years old. So we were right into those performances, the great musicals of Broadway, a lot of things from Rodgers and Hammerstein, and I can remember doing those performances. Anything that had kids in it, all of Mom's kids were in the performance. and we were ushered to the front of the church to sing all the time as well.
Here's Mark McVeigh performing a little bit of Who Am I?
Must my name until I die be no more than an alibi? Must I lie? How can I ever face my family? Can I ever face myself again? My soul belongs to God. I know I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. Who am I? Who am I?
Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Mark McVeigh, and in 1991, he won the Helen Hayes Award for Outstanding Lead Actor. Mark, tell us about Victor Hugo, please.
Oh, wow. Well, I really don't know that much about Victor Hugo other than he was probably the most popular poet and writer in France. He was also the highest paid author of his time. He pretty much negotiated his own fee for that that book, Les Mis, that he wrote. Now, I guess that, you know, so popular, they named the street where he lived after him while he was still alive. So that gives you an indication of his popularity. But I used to joke about Victor Hugo, really, because what I would say is they must have been, you know, paying him by the page. Otherwise, why would he write 200 pages about the Battle of Waterloo? I don't know. But no, he was, he wrote this incredible story that really talked to the social issues of the time. And I believe that's why he was so popular. He started out as a poet. I think that, some of the history that I have read, he started out on a trajectory to be an attorney, but turned to poetry and writing. And he was just, you know, incredibly gifted in that, and really learned to become an activist for the, you know, the social ills of his time. And that's where he gained his popularity.
All right. He also wrote the novel The Hunchback of Notre Dame, for the record.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
so
he did.
You mentioned Les Miserables, and Elaine Bobillot and Claude Michel Schoenberg. What role did they play in converting that to a musical, please?
Well, they started writing that sometime in the early 80s, maybe it was even the late 70s. And Bublil and Schoenberg were a team. Alain wrote the lyric, and Claude Michel wrote the music. They were a great team, very wonderfully talented writers. They have several other musicals that were very popular as well, Miss Saigon being one of them. They were always very kind, and Claude Michel was a stickler about his melodies, and I love that because I love melody. And I really think, though, it was Trevor Nunn that really brought the story of Les Mis to life at the Royal National Theatre with the producer Cameron McIntosh. Early, like I said, I think it was 81 or 82, they had opened in France, maybe it was 83, and they did not get much critical acclaim there. McIntosh saw it, though, and just really fell in love with it and took it to the National Theatre, and Trevor Nunn and John Caird worked on it for two or three years, and then they opened it in London in 85 and in New York in March of 87, I believe it was.
What were the early reviews in London in 85, and what were the early reviews when it came to Broadway in 87?
They were much the same. The reviews in London were basically negative, but then some of the awards came out and they won the Olivier Award, and Broadway was the same. The critical acclaim was not favorable, but they won, eight Tony Awards, I guess, including Best Musical, Best Score, and the directors won Best Direction for a Musical at that time. And, you know, it wouldn't have mattered actually if they had won any awards or not, in my opinion, Jack. The crowds of people loved this musical. They absolutely loved it and ate it up. And it was quite popular. And if I'm correct, I believe it's still running in London. And it ran for 25 plus years, and maybe it was 35 years in New York before it closed. Or maybe I'm wrong there, but it did run for 25, I think, and then it closed and opened again. I mean, the world knows it as the most beloved musical of all time. So, It's had quite a good run.
All right, and you had a great run with it. You performed Jean Valjean 3,265 performances. Why is it so magnificent, Mark?
Well, I believe it's that the age-old story of human frailty. It's the story of redemption. It's the story of, you know, the underdog. It's the guy that, even though he's being chased and harassed, he has the persistence and the perseverance and the stick-to-itiveness, the initiative, whatever it is that is in that human being that has them strive to be the best that they can be in the times and conditions that they're given. And that plays to the human heart, directly to the human heart. And the fact that it's probably the greatest redemption story, I mean, God showing his mercy through the bishop and the extraordinary gift that was given to a man who had just spent 19 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread. So you're talking about a time that the aristocracy was just really being very difficult on the people. And so having the opportunity to write about something like that, Victor Hugo took that opportunity and really made it into one of the greatest stories of all time.
The Miserables has been seen by over 130 million people worldwide, 53 countries, 438 cities, 22 languages. All right, Let's go to the spring of 1988, and you're an understudy in Boston. Talk about that first experience.
Yeah, well, it was an incredible experience because I had been hired really to play the lead. I had auditioned five times, Jack, for the show. And each time I got what was called as typed out. In other words, I'm 6 feet two, blonde hair, blue eyes. And they were looking for 5 foot 10, dark hair, dark eyed men to be really students. And I thought, well, maybe I'll go in and I can sing for the student leader. But four times in a row, I didn't even get through the door to sing. So then I got smart and I found myself an agent who would submit me. I got an appointment to go and sing, and they let me in the room and I sang. And the first question out of the executive director's mouth was, "Where have you been?" And I said, "Well, I've been standing out the door knocking." And this is the first time that I've been able to get in. And he said, "Can you start work on Tuesday?" And I said, "Of course I can." And so they shipped me off to Boston. You know, of course, in my mind, I was going to get the role of Enjolras. And he said, "No, we really want you to learn this role first." And he handed me all of the music for Jean Valjean. And they put me in as the understudy. They kind of led me to believe that I was going to be playing the lead role. And I was a little bit frustrated at the way they went about it, but I'll spare you all of that. And I'll just dump it into the realm of union politics tell you that I just started really learning. I learned a great deal about human nature during the time. I learned to play that understudy role, and I actually played that part as best I possibly could, using the gifts that I was given for 18 months, and literally had to quit before I got my chance to take the role over in September of 89.
We're talking to Mark McVeigh, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Mark McVeigh from the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building. And Mark, tell us what happened in September of 1989.
September of 89 was my first opportunity to take over the lead role in Les Miserables. That's the role of Jean Valjean. And it was at the Fisher Theater in Detroit, Michigan. And that was a great experience. Detroit being my first city, Fisher being my first theater.
And here's a bit of him performing "Bring Him Home," one of the greatest songs of all time.
Bring him peace, bring him joy.
funny because I look back on it, and this is probably the first time, Jack, that I realized that God truly had a plan for my life, and He knew better than I did. And that's, it was a humbling experience. I had put an ad in the Detroit Free Press saying an actor is coming to Detroit and needs housing. And the ad was answered by Reverend Bill Quick over at the Metropolitan United Methodist Church. And he said, look, I have a parsonage that I'm not using. Would you like to stay there? And I said, oh, geez, that's great. Where is it located? And he said, well, it's right there in Center One. So you're about 3 blocks from the Fisher Theater in one direction, and the other direction is about 3 blocks to the United Methodist Church. And so if you'd like to, and I just realized God had set me right in the middle of where I was supposed to be. I was going to go working at the Fisher, and then I was going to spend my time, worshiping God at the Metropolitan United Methodist Church and live in that parsonage. And I don't know any other way to say it, that he knew exactly how to take care of me, and as he always does. And so it was one of the greatest experiences of my life, and one of the greatest recognitions of my life, and that God is actually in my life working the way that things are supposed to work.
You're a huge believer and proponent of Napoleon Hill, Dale Carnegie, Zig Ziglar, Og Mandino, as am I. You really believe that anything is possible, don't you, Mark?
I truly do. I truly do. I think that the basics of that are, the positive thinking, the self-discipline, the persistence, perseverance, the taking initiative, the belief in oneself. Now, I added a few things to that, Jack. I have a belief in a creator, and especially the creator of this universe, and giving all the credit to God, because God knows me better than I know myself. And of course, you're going to get that from Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So if you can believe in that and understand that your pecking order, where you come in this situation, giving Him all the credit and everything is possible to one who believes.
We're talking to Mark McVeigh. If you want to learn more, www.jmarkmcvey.com. Mark, if there's a listener tonight that says, sir, I struggle with self-esteem issues, what would you say to that person?
Well, first I'd say I'm sorry. and I would say then to start by realizing that we were all put on this earth to help one another. You have your gifts, I have my gifts. So I would say find someone to help you discover and use your gifts. I would suggest that he pick up a copy of the Bible and read the promises of God. Learn what the creator of the universe says and thinks about you, about me, about us. We are God's greatest creation, and you were created in God's image. And I'd start in maybe the book of John, and then I'd read Romans 9 and Ephesians 4 and 5, and I'd lead him, to the ancient scriptures, Jack, because they're the greatest self-help books in the history of the world. And because by reading them living life the way that they suggest that you live life, you gain wisdom. And wisdom is better than knowledge, in my opinion. Knowledge is great. I think that's been perhaps the downfall, though, of our country. It's about gaining all kinds of knowledge, but not really knowing what to do with all of that knowledge. And wisdom is the key to the longevity in life. So that's what I would say. And I would say that they need to learn to believe in themselves and who they were created to be, and to search all of that out. And I'd help them if I could. And that's what my wife and I, we started a 501c3 called Finding Your Gifts, because I believe that that's where it begins. If you can find out and figure what your gifts are, and you start working in those gifts, then you're really doing the things that you were created to do. And it's not that you won't have to find a job perhaps sometime in your life to make ends meet, but it's really about staying in your lane and doing what you do best and having the confidence, which, by the way, comes from God, to do what it is that He created you to do.
Mark McVeigh, if you want to learn more, www.jmarkmcvey.com. And here is Mark performing a little bit of The Impossible Dream.
We'll be better for this. That one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
Spohom. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to a special human being, Mark McVeigh. Mark, you performed Jean Valjean 3,265 times. How has his life and Mark McVeigh's life mirrored each other?
Oh, wow. That's a great question, Jack. Well, first of all, we both have pretty thick skulls. It takes several times for us to learn a lesson. And that's what, renewing your mind is all about. And the things that I learned most, I believe, from that particular character was obedience and persistence and perseverance. Because each time I performed that role, I was reminded of what my parents taught me as a kid, to use your gifts to serve others for the glory of God. Do I still struggle? Yeah, sure, sometimes. I'm human. But now when I struggle, that leads me to repentance and to asking for forgiveness so that I can get back on track. That renewing of your mind, if you will, is something that keeps me in the obedience position, keeps me seeking the wisdom from the creator of the universe. And that's what keeps me on track.
All right. When we come to see a Broadway performer, we put our best clothes on. Maybe we go out to dinner first, but we want a special experience. And there are certain nights, Mark, where you have it, and then other nights where you don't have it. When a night when you don't have it, how did you get through and give it your best?
Well, it would be silly for me to say that that didn't happen to me, because it did at times. But you tend to, at that point, you rely on the gifts. You rely on the gift that God gave you, and you rely on your ability to stay in your lane. You don't try to go out of that lane. And for me, it's about focus. And so if I was struggling in any, whether it was emotional, spiritual, physical, then I would focus on telling the story, first off, to a 12-year-old. Because if I can tell the story to a 12-year-old to help them to understand it, then everybody else in the room is going to understand that message. And so it really truly becomes to connecting with the gifts that I was given and focusing on making certain that the 12-year-old that's in the audience is understanding the story.
Mark McVeigh, when you're taking a shower, do you ever sing in the shower, and what do you sing?
That's very funny. I make all kinds of weird noises in the shower. I spend my shower time warming up. But these days, normally, if I'm singing a song in the shower, then it's a song that I'm going to be singing in the next couple of days, or a song that I'm learning, or it is a praise and worship song. Like, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. So that I get that, encouragement, if you will, from calling out to God and having him know that I'm thinking about him, so that hopefully he will think about me and give me a heads up as to where it is that I need to be, what I need to be doing, and how I need to be doing it, how I need to be serving, and who I need to be serving. That's important to me, and so I try to live that.
Your better half is Christy, and she was also a Broadway star. How good was she? Tell us about her, and do the two of you ever sing together?
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for asking that question. My wife Christy is awesome. She and I met actually on Broadway doing a show before we were ever romantically involved. We were doing a show called The Who's Tommy, and she was Tommy's mother, Mrs. Walker, and I was Tommy's father, Captain Walker. So, but yes, we do perform together still every time we get an opportunity to. She's a wonderful, wonderful teacher. She's been a great mother to our two daughters, Grace, 23, and Kylie, 20 years of age, who are both actually very excellent performers as well. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But Christy's got specific gifts. She has to have the gift of forgiveness, because she deals with me on a daily basis. So she's helped me to understand what that's all about. And she was also raised in the church and has the same set of values. And I believe that's why we get along so well. We both believe in going back to the scriptures. We both believe in embracing the truth there, and we both believe in serving. And I think as long as a husband and wife can serve one another's needs and desires, then it's going to be you're going to have a better chance at being successful and living a long life with one another in a loving relationship. We're coming up on 25 years now, and we didn't find each other until later on in life, but it's still going strong. And yes, like I said earlier, there's always struggles in marriage. You're two different, uniquely created and gifted individuals. But if the idea is that you are coming together to become one, the only other person that you need in the room is God. And in our particular instance, it's Jesus Christ. So that's how we look at things. And that's she's just an incredible helpmate and partner. And wow, what a talent.
As our time winds down, could you lead us in a closing prayer this evening?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I can, Jack. And I just ask us, no matter where you are, please, if you're driving, don't put your head down. Don't close your eyes. but I would say this, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this endless opportunity that you give us to spend in your presence. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life. Thank you for being with us here. You're an awesome God. Thank you for loving us the way that you do unconditionally. Help us to understand the depth of that love, the depth of your love for this creation of yours, spirit, heart, mind, will, and emotions. Help us to become better citizens of this world and better lovers of you and those that you have set before us to love. And we would ask these things in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for Christy and Mark McVeigh. Keep up the great work, please. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoh.
Believe in yourself.